Sunday, June 1st. The Epistle from the First Letter of St. Peter, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Dearly beloved, be prudent and watch in prayers. But before all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one toward another, without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the power which God administereth, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. Haydock Commentary. Charity covereth a multitude of sins. It is a great means to atone for them, or this may signify that a charitable mind excuses many sins in others. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, this is an admonition to the ministers of the gospel to employ well their talents and the graces received to the honor and glory of God. The Gospel from John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me, and you shall give testimony, because you are with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the hour cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember that I told you." From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. "But when the Paraclete is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father," etc., he means, although I have abundantly demonstrated my divinity to the Jews, so that they are without excuse, yet will I still more demonstrate it by the coming of the Holy Ghost, who shall testify concerning me, coming from heaven to you alone who have believed in me, and to those who shall believe through your preaching, so that his advent shall be made known to all when they see you speaking with tongues, and expounding the Scriptures, and working miracles. For you, by preaching the gospel, bear testimony unto all men concerning me, my doctrine and my works, since you have been with me from the time that I began to teach and converse with men." One divine person is said to be sent by another when, by the will of him from whom he proceeds, he begins to be anywhere in a fresh manner from that in which he was there before. Thus the Son was sent by the Father in the flesh that he might become man. The Holy Ghost was sent by the Father and the Son to the apostles, interiorly by the abundant grace with which he illuminated their minds and inflamed their will that they should constantly bear witness to Christ and his doctrine. But he did the same exteriorly by means of the fiery tongues, by which he gave efficacy to their words, and also by means of the miracles which he wrought by them. St. Thomas says, "If the Holy Ghost did not proceed from the Son, he would not be distinguished from the Son. For in the Godhead there is no distinction of persons, save in the procession of one from another, and the distinction of relationship." In this place, Christ says the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and is silent concerning himself. First, because the Father is the first principle of the spiration of the Holy Ghost. Second, because Christ, for the sake of humility and reverence, to give us an example, is wont to refer all things concerning his authority to the Father. Third, because if he had said, "Who proceedeth from me," he could not appositely have subjoined, "He shall testify of me." For the witness who proceeds from anyone, if he gives testimony concerning him among men, is apt to be suspected. From this passage, learn who, what, and how great is the Holy Ghost. First, that he is the third person in the Holy Trinity, distinct from the Father and the Son. For in that he proceedeth from and is sent by both, he that proceedeth and is sent is distinct from those who send. Second, that the Holy Ghost is true God, of one substance with God the Father, because he proceedeth from him as God from God. Third, that he proceedeth not from the Father alone, not from the Son alone, but unitedly from both as from one principle of spiration. Fourth, that he proceedeth not from the Father by generation as doth the Son, but by spiration, so that he is the Holy Spirit. Wherefore Saints Athanasius, Basil, Gregory Nazianzen, St. John Chrysostom, Augustine, and others, throughout their writings refute the heretic Macedonius, who said that since the Holy Ghost proceedeth not from the Father by way of generation as the Son doth, he is therefore not consubstantial with the Father, neither is he God. Fifth, that he is the Paraclete, that is, the Comforter and the Exhorter to all goodness. Sixth, that he is the very Spirit of truth, because he teaches all truth, and the true faith, doctrine, and prudence. Seventh, that he is the witness of Christ and of his doctrine. The witness, I say, infinitely above all other witnesses, because he is himself God. Christ foretells the persecution which would come on the apostles and promises them the Holy Spirit to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and to glorify him. These things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be scandalized. Some think that this refers to Matthew 26:31, all of you shall be offended because of me this night, and that the meaning is, I have foretold you that you would flee away when you shall see me taken, and I did so in order that your shock and trouble of mind might be less when it come to pass, and that thus you might regain your courage and come back to me. Others refer these words to the persecutions which Christ just before said were impending on the apostles, and he did so that they might strengthen themselves against them. For evils which come unexpectedly greatly stagger even brave men, while those which are foreseen take less effect. Venerable Bede, Euthymius, and others refer the words to the Holy Spirit who had just been spoken of, thus explaining them, I have spoken these things of the Holy Spirit who will come to you, in order that you may not be offended when you see yourselves assailed by persecutions, but may boldly withstand them with the thought that the Holy Spirit will render you his aid. St. Augustine says much the same. Having promised the Holy Spirit, by whose operation they would become his witnesses, he rightly added, These things have I spoken unto you. For when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given us, great peace is theirs who love the law of God, so that they are not offended. Toletus, Ribera, and others, by the last two explanations, give the best meaning. I have said all these things about persecution and hatred of the world, and also of the coming of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, that you may not stumble in the way of eternal life in which you are walking and fall away from me, as though I did not foresee, or were unwilling to warn you, or as if your sufferings were intolerable and had befallen you unexpectedly. He removes, therefore, from the apostles a stumbling block and a ground of offense, both by forewarning them of the danger and by promising the aid of the Holy Spirit to withstand it. They shall put you out of the synagogues. The assembly of the Jews was called a synagogue, as was also the place of the assembly. For God had ordained that there should be only one temple in Judea, where sacrifices were to be offered, and this could not contain all the Jews, nor could they all attend it weekly. Accordingly, the Jews had one or more synagogues in every city, which the people frequented weekly, only to pray and to hear the law expounded by the scribes. They seem to have been set up in the time of the judges. To be put out of the synagogue was accordingly the same as being excommunicated. But Christ here promised his church to the apostles when the Jews excommunicated them. The time cometh that whoso killeth you will think that he doth God a service. Both Jews and Gentiles will offer you up as a sacrifice to God, counting you the offscouring of all things. See 1 Corinthians 4:13. Moreover, St. Augustine thinks that this was said to console the apostles. The Jews will cast you out, but I will gather you, and you will convert so vast a multitude of men to me, that the Jews, fearing the desertion of the temple and the law, would kill you, considering that they would thus greatly honor God by killing you in their defense. The martyrs of Lyon considered that this was fulfilled in their case, quoting this very text. Christ here foretells the persecutions of the Roman emperors for 300 years, in which more than 200,000 Christians were martyred. They were led to this by various motives. Fearing the destruction of their empire, which rested in their hereditary religion, regarding with abhorrence the worship of a crucified man which the apostles taught, seeing their own vices and impurities uprooted by the apostles, persuaded by their priests that the Christian religion was the cause of all public calamities. These things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. He says this not to excuse the persecutors, but rather to comfort the apostles. The reason why Jews and Gentiles will persecute you is because they refuse to acknowledge me as the Son of God the Father, though established by countless miracles, and therefore their ignorance only aggravates their guilt. But it will be a consolation to you in your persecutions that you know me and my Father and are suffering for both our sakes. For it is glorious to die for one's country, it is much more glorious to die for God. So says St. Augustine. St. John Chrysostom adds, If a prince or his ambassador enters a city unattended and consequently not known, and is treated with indignity, he cares little for it, for when his retinue arrives, he will make himself known and put to shame those who derided him.